Oh, when we are alive, kind of, sort of, then on this here show, Michael Angley, live, kind of, sort of. Are we alive? What are we? I don't know, man. I'm looking around, trying to figure out what motivates average human beings. It's a study of mine. It's like my hobby. Better than TV. Television doesn't grasp like what people are. Television is the programmer of people. So you see the extensions of that programming down through people by the way they act, what they say, what they react. Very, very, very powerful tool, you know, and it's in everyone's home. It's in everyone's hand. It's a constant distraction. So it's constantly looked at. And an addiction for many, I'd say even most. I remember when it started to happen back in the Stone Age when cell phones came, you know, popular. My friend Dan Murphy was the first dude that I knew who wasn't wealthy anyway, like, you know, that could afford a cell phone in his car. You know what I mean? That was like a big deal. Because before that, it was really for, you know, people who were like just money driven, who needed that phone in the car. Yeah, whatever. When we were young, we'd have CB radios in the car. And, you know, like my friends and I, we'd all like talking to each other on that thing and whatever, just for fun. That became something unbelievably distorted with everyone needing a telephone in their vehicle. And it used to be you went out, you partied, you hung out, you got into your car, you put your stereo on, boom, you got your music cruising down the road, man. There was no phone call that interfered with that process. You had time off from the machine, right? Isn't that phone, isn't that connection just another tentacle of that device that reaches into you? Because the kids now, today, will never know, and I'm talking about any developed world, they will never know what life is like truly to be disconnected, to be not, and not just disconnected, like disconnected, okay, I'm going to shut my cell phone off and put it over here, because that's not good enough. Once you are in the here and the now, and the people out there know that you're in the here and the now, the expectations are high that you're going to respond to them immediately, you know? So it's just, I fear for that world. It's nothing that's going to help people. And in fact, it's been a main driving vehicle of hate and hate speech, and people who are willing to use it for their evil bidding, right? I mean, obviously, look around, look out there, look what's going on. And I'm not just talking about one entity, I'm talking about all of them, because they are all doing the same thing. And they're all acting and reacting. It's a clown show. And as I sit back and I watch this politicking going on, how dangerous it's become, man. People have died. People have died because of this. People have died because of insightful language. People have died because of incendiary remarks, you know? And you don't have to be the one holding the torch, walking through the door to be, have been the one who caused it to happen, you know? And I'll tell you, man, there is no one, and I mean no one, making the right choices in this government right now. And when I sit back, and I'm talking about the US, of course, when I sit back and I look at the pictures of DC, with all the gates and fences and barbed wire, all that for Joe Biden's inauguration, I'm like, one, I thought the Democrats didn't like walls and any of that. I was like, that's kind of interesting. And number two, this looks like some kind of third world nation, some kind of place that's martial law. There's supposed to be a swearing in of a president. And these people are so fearful of these Trump supporters, and they are Trump supporters. That's undeniable. And what have they been taught? They've been taught by example, multiple examples, it's okay to riot. They've been shown that. It's a learned science from what happened over the summer and what happened the last 4 years, right? It's a learned thing. And these Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables are going to show up with their nasty racial slurs, their obnoxious attitude towards people of other religion, you know? And these are the ones that Trump describes as beautiful people. You know, the ones who like Trump that aren't like that are now being drawn in to that same basket, because it only takes a few bad apples to spoil the bunch. Donald Trump was able to manipulate and focus in on a passion that a lot of people had that thought this country was going in the wrong direction. He jumped in that driver's seat and people went with him, even if you didn't like him, what he would say, his antics, the nonsense, right? Because there was a movement of sorts against this drive that Barack Obama had in this country. And George Bush, can't forget about George Bush. You had 16 years of bad government and a drive for a world marketplace, not just a marketplace, but putting United States in terms of not being able to make our own choices, you know, more like being in tune to the World Trade Organization and also the IMF and being all part of that. And I don't know, we were being moved into that direction, right? But then Trump came along and preached nationalism, and half the country went for it. So you see the razor-thin margins between parties, right? And it's funny to me, because they're both the same. They just say that they're not. They say a lot of stuff, you know. Unfortunately, it's we the people who get caught up in the middle of it. So me personally, I try to skate on the outskirts of it, because there's enough crap I have to deal with every day. And when I see good friends melting down on either side, I try to pull them back towards the middle and hey, what's important to you every day, you know? You don't need to raise your stress level because of elected representatives, man. I mean, these people have too much power. And this has been a problem. It's an ongoing problem. But it's a problem that will never be solved, because the very people who have to solve that problem are the ones that we're talking about. And they will never do that to themselves. They will never sacrifice more power. You know, they will never. If it's taken from them, it's one thing. But if it's, you know, like term limits, things like that, when you start moving people around, so you don't have lifelong politicians who are dug in with corporations, dug in with other politicians. It's the game. It's the machine. But the machine's not there to represent you in equality. You know, life isn't fair. The machine doesn't care either. The machine is there to control you, so you don't go out of control, because the machine needs you. It needs you, like sprockets and cogs and whatever, man. Whatever parts of a machine, it needs you. Without a vast majority of you, the machine doesn't work, you know? So, in jest, in talking to Joe Montalvo the other day about Trump and his supporters, we kind of laughed saying, you know, these guys represent the infrastructure of America. They're the farmers. They're the truck drivers. They're the steel workers. You know, I mean, the people who build everything, the entire, I mean, they're the ones who run the power plants. They're the ones who manufacture. They're the ones who do it all, right? Not the ones with, you know, yeah, there's some of them have degrees or whatever. I'm not putting people on a certain level. But let's say the working man. How about that? Or the working class? Because it's beyond men, obviously. Working people. You see what comes out of your paycheck. I see what comes out of my paycheck. It's obscene. Yo. And I'm like, boom. It's like the mafia. It's like the mafia. They take a chunk. And what am I paying for? For them to play these games and shenanigans? You know? I don't want that. I want to go see a clown show. I'll go pay to see a clown show. I want representation. I want to know what you're doing for me. How are you going to make my life better so I can work as hard and make that tax money so I can support the system? What are you doing for me? And what are you doing for my family? What about my family who is sick, who needs help? What about the people, what about children and their school? What about everything, right? My community. These politicians are busy doing what? You know? Being rock stars, they're being famous. Look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Now she's getting like, she just like, you know, I call the show the Red Pill News. She kind of just took the red pill herself because she's mad. She's going through the red pill rage right now. She's mad because she's realizing that she doesn't mean anything to anybody. You know, they just used her for what they needed her for, to drive another spike into Trump during the last 4 years. The Democratic Party has been nothing about like an assault. It's like an assault between two countries going at each other. What these guys did to each other, and ultimately the trickle-down effects, what they did to America, the morale of the people, you know, I mean, just everything that we are, we're fighting with each other, fighting with family, people splitting apart and whatever, that's a travesty. We talk about an injustice. And the ones who crafted that were these political operatives in these DNC, RNC, these people used you. They used you. They caused you strife and pain and stress. We're talking like damages, man. I'm talking damages. If you think in a court of law, there are punitive damages that go well beyond the expectations of any greasy, sleazy, ambulance-chasing slug of a lawyer. Well beyond. Because these people crafted this. It was intended. They planned it. They did it. They succeeded. They divided a nation. And Trump was the pinata, the sacrificial pig at the luau with the apple stuffed in his big fat mouth. And guess what? He was still able to use Twitter. And then they came along. And, you know, I read even recently on stuff that Trump had written on Twitter. And to read it and think in your mind that this is the president of the United States of America, you know. It's sure, if you're in fifth grade, you'd laugh at the insults from some bully because it'd be like nervous laughter. If you didn't laugh, you didn't want to be the one to get beaten up by the same bully or get picked on, or you notice that you're different. That's what bullies do. They single you out. They torture you, and they get other people against you. Man, that's the essence of what he did in his administration, you know. And I do believe that Trump has had accomplishments, but those accomplishments belong to other people. He knew who to put in charge of what when, but they all walked away from him. They had to. There's something, they obviously, like, people didn't have loyalty for him because he doesn't have loyalty for people. But what he did with that rally and Giuliani and the rest of them, they should have realized, and tell me that I'm wrong, all of them together should have realized, especially the climate of the people that were there, the attitude, why they were brought there, the intention, the direction, right? You know, a martial arts man, it's all about energy and direction. And if a certain heavy energy is coming towards you, you either have to stand your ground and exert an amazing force and pressure against that energy because it's already in motion coming at you. Imagine you're on train tracks, right? And here comes a freaking train. Oh, coming at you. 90 miles an hour. And you're there. Ah, you put your arms out. You're going to stop this train. No, you're not going to stop the train. You're never going to stop the train. That thing hits you, you're dead. You're gone. You know, maybe if you can bounce or something, you might live, might lose legs and arms or whatever. Let me tell you something. No matter what, the outcome is not going to be something that you want. So instead of dealing with that energy, you just step, take a few steps over to the left and walk out of it. You move it. Let the energy go where it's going, right? Not in this case, man. These guys brought a bunch of people together, the goon squad. It was the goon squad, right? These guys killed a freaking police officer. A police officer. The guy was a Trump supporter, the cop. Died in the nation's capital at the hand of the President of the United States of America and his goon squad. Trump taking no credit, no nothing. It had nothing to do with it. He just was a rally, no control. Wow. Talk about. I don't know. The only thing I can say is that he made the Democrats so happy by doing that, because all of their stuff and all of their going against him all along, this was the icing on the cake, man. He lit the candles and they blew them out, and they're just gleeful. And it's sad that they're so gleeful that Trump did these things and these people did these things, because people died in our nation's capital, the land of the free. People died because of political rhetoric, division, and an intention to, you know, basically, you think that Trump's saying, calling Pence a treasonous? Imagine the President of the United States of America, and imagine you're the Vice President, he call you a treasonous. You know what? I would have resigned. I would have said, stuff this up your nasty orange ass. I am gone. I resign, Trump. You are a low-life cretin creep. You know, bye. And you drop the mic. Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you. You know, one of those moments. You just had your FU moment. You know, but it wouldn't affect Trump because he's gone, man. He's gone. You look into his eyes. He's gone. He's gone. His ego committed suicide, and he is, I don't know what, he's gone. So they're looking to have the inauguration. They got 7,500 troops. They got fences, wires, barbed wire, electric fences. They got bomb dogs, drones, and whatever. All to swear Biden in. They should just go down and do it at Mar-a-Lago. No, shouldn't they just take the time to go down and do it there? Florida? A little nicer weather. Isn't that the second White House? You think that they'd let Biden. Trump wouldn't be allowed. But you think they let Biden there, you know, and Kamala, I don't know, man. Now everybody, nobody can pronounce her name right all of a sudden, you know. You know, when they're nobodies, it doesn't matter how they pronounce your name. It was like that with Demi Moore. Remember the actress Demi Moore? And then she got famous, man. Mainly for being married to Bruce Willis. That was the deal. Then I think he got her a lot of like movie roles. She sprung board off of Bruce's yin yang. But so then she got like uber famous, and she went on some radio show. And I remember Howard Stern like making fun of it, actually, like way back when. And she said her name was Demi, it wasn't Demi. It's like she corrected the radio guy. He's like, okay, welcome into Demi Moore, you know, Bill. She's like, it's Demi. I would be like, okay, dummy. Dummy Moore. No, it's Demi. All right, dummy. So tell me, what's it like being married to Bruce Willis? That's got to be every question, you know? Tell me about Christmas and Die Hard. I like to hear that. I want to hear that connection. Well, Bruce is amazing. And then she went nuts, right? She went nuts. When women go nuts in Hollywood, they play it down. You know, who's that one? There was a few. That Winona Ryder, man, she like lost it. She started stealing stuff from all kinds of stores, like, you know, five finger discount. She's in their house and stuff, taking it. She's a famous actress, makes millions of bucks. These people live in unbelievable mansions. They have life. When you don't think, if you think that they don't have money, when I found out that Trevor Noah just bought a $27 million mansion, in Bel Air, like Trevor Noah. Really? A comedy channel. And they got deep pockets like that? Something's going on. I don't think they pay them like that. Something's going on with that dude. I'd be looking into his money. If I was X-Nay on the IRSA, right? That's SRIA. I don't know. $27 million. I guess the comedy channel, and they're in such disarray. And I do think the guy is funny. He's boring when he talks about Trump. You know, it's just such a beaten down topic. It's not funny, actually. But anyway, it really comes down to, it comes down to haters going to hate, taters going to tate. You know what I mean? And if you look at Hollywood, man, talk about haters. There are so many. It's just incredible. And don't you think that whole line, I mean, when you step back and look at it, aren't people actors, musicians? They're there to entertain you. That should be a little tiny area over here. It shouldn't be like your whole life. These people shouldn't be so powerful in your face. Anderson Cooper, right? Anderson Cooper. Of CNN fame. On New Year's Eve, we were doing a live show right here on United Public Radio Network. We were on, I don't know, I think we were on till like 2:30 in the morning, man. We were trying to say Happy New Year for all kinds of places, provinces, and all that, right? But I don't know. It was interesting. you should listen to it in the archives. It was hours and hours and hours long show, and Gillespie was on, and I don't know, Joe Montaldo. Joe gave up at some point, and Laura Lee was there. I think it was cool. All right. I got to read you this story, because this is what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm going to get away from politics for a minute. But you know how I feel about all that anyway. Yeah, I do think that there's going to be a melee in a few days. I feel like terrible energy, and I think something terrible is going to happen, and I want to just kind of get away from that vibe altogether. So, and just you just got to pray for this nation, man, and people get their heads out of their asses. So anyway, this about Jennifer Lawrence and, you know, the actress Jennifer Lawrence and her confrontation with Anderson Cooper after he called her Oscar fall a fake. So Jennifer Lawrence hosted the Oscars, right? And this is going back 2013, so a while ago. And she was on her way to collect her first Academy Award. Oh, she didn't host. She was on her way to collect the first Academy Award for, what was it, Silver Linings Playbook. And like, you know what? I don't watch award shows. I don't even, I could care less. It's the opposite of what I'm all about. You know, it's like the opposite. If you ever saw me at an award show, it would be the most unnatural type of thing that there ever could be. Like putting a grizzly bear in the middle of that audience, you know, and people like pan the audience and see that giant grizzly bear. Oh, that's strange. That's me at one of these things, man, you know? All right. Even though I've been a judge for award shows, but that was a different thing, different time. And I wasn't in the audience anyway, but all right. Jennifer Lawrence. I could maybe only name a couple of movies that she's ever been in. And okay, but that's fine. And I don't watch those movies. I watched one. Oh my God, it was so horrible. Oh my God. The Red Sparrow or Robin or whatever the hell it was. Oh my God, I was forced to watch it. Oh my God, by my ex, it was terrible. Ah! It was so bad. I got to choose the next five movies after that because it was so bad. So if I was Anderson Cooper, I would have been on there like something like that, man, you know? All right. So this is so this is about that, okay? So she says, they call my name and I'm elated and in shock. You kind of black out, like Lawrence said, you know, and they know that they're going to win. You think they don't know? You think that's all pre-planned? And they're always like, you know, oh, no, they don't know and whatever. So that's acting in of itself, right? So she said, I actually don't remember what the moment was like when they said my name and then I fell. And then it just erased everything in her mind. My full brain went. So she fell down. She gets up, starts walking up, and she falls over, right? She said, my full name went blank. I can look back at it now that I'm a little bit like older fondly. But for a very long time, the fall thing was very sensitive. So I'm looking at it on the screen. She's wearing this big, like huge, she's this little chick in this giant dress. I don't know, man, what kind of dress you, like one of those old Southern Belle type of dress. No wonder she fell on her ass, you know? So after making it to stage, Lawrence was met with a standing ovation. You're only standing up because I fell on the stairs, she told the audience. I feel so embarrassed. You see, she's like, that's a sensitive moment because, you know, she's a girl. She's all emotional, thinking everybody's judging her and it's going to be like massive, you know, in this day and age, especially. You know, this is like 7 years ago, but still, haters are going to hate, especially online, and then people will pound you. So, and you know, you think these famous people have a great life, like Trevor Noah buying a $27 million mansion. And this is the guy who's always screaming about poverty and poor people. We got to help the poor. I don't know how much of that 27 mil went to help the poor. Maybe he's housing poor people. I don't know. Maybe I just don't know. Maybe we should just find out. Anyway, so reporters asked her backstage if she had fallen on purpose. The actress jokingly replied, absolutely. She's like, what do you mean? What happened? Look at my dress. I tried to walk up the stairs in the dress. They waxed the stairs. They wax the stairs like Cher waxes her upper lip. I'm saying it's slippery. You know what I mean? Earlier that evening on the red carpet, she had told reporters her stylist took 6 inches off the mermaid-style train on her dress, her Dior gown, because it was so long. You think it was the wax on the Cher stairs? Do you think it was, or do you think that, you think maybe someone ran up there and deliberately put some Vaseline on the stairs or something, right? Some other actress who knew that she was going to get it, whatever. There's a lot of haters going to hate, man. Hollywood's full of hate. There's even people walking away from movie sets now, man. They're fighting with each other. All the COVID-19, they don't want to go for the rules. You got that one dude flipping out. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. All right, so she said it was so devastating because it was this horrific humiliation to me that took away, I don't know, if I'll ever have the chance to make a speech like that again, even though she just did. Even though that sentence is still being talked about 8 years later. So, I think that probably the fall, it's like Taylor Swift, right? She won an award that she didn't even deserve, a lot of people say. And because of that Kanye West gets up, he jumps up there and he's like, you didn't deserve this. Or Beyonce should have got this. And you suck. And then she was like, oh, my moment. And she runs off of that. She thinks that was her one devastating moment. She reflects back to that as a devastating moment in her show business career, in her life, her personal life, the emotional humiliation she felt from Kanye West or whatever. Meanwhile, that was the thing that catapulted her into success, because you wouldn't know who she is. She'd be doing commercials for low money car insurance now, and you'd be like, who's that chick in that commercial? You wouldn't know. Taylor Swift? Who? Right? So same. You have to embrace your moments of humiliation, man. You have to embrace it. And if you embrace it, then you're one with it, right? So she's devastated emotionally. And deep down inside, try playing. She's the trooper. She was the trooper because she just told you she was. She was like, I was trying to be strong. She said, that didn't feel good for me, not having a speech. She was just talking about falling on the ass the whole time. Okay. So this was Anderson Cooper, right, going after her on CNN, saying, Anderson Cooper, he's kind of like a hissy type of dude. You know what I mean? He likes the impact. You see how he like purses his lips after he says something that's supposed to be uber important, wanting you to focus on it. He's also the same guy that stood in a ditch, on the side of the road that was full of water to make it look like he was standing in 4 feet of water. And then someone came along and took a picture of them doing this whole thing. And like, look at Anderson Cooper standing in the ditch. Cause he was like, look at the floods in this neighborhood. Oh my God. Meanwhile, he was in a ditch. He was ditch diving in Iowa. So yeah, the news is bull crap. They don't have to be accurate. One time I emailed in to CNN and, to correct the story of something that they did that I had information and very common information, actually, that their story was wrong. And they said they didn't care about the truth. They said that they were not, the producer wrote back to me saying that they were not in the business of telling the truth. I couldn't believe he wrote me that. And that's back, right where email started, maybe mid-90s or something, man, where people were just getting into it. I wish I saved it, because that just shows you what they're all about, man. They didn't care. They didn't care then. They don't care now. It's entertainment, man. They're entertaining people through tweaking their negative emotions and starting positive. You don't walk away from the news feeling good, feeling satisfied, feeling like, wow, I feel good about life, it's a, actually, like, to me anyway, it's a sickening feeling. So, okay, Jennifer Lawrence and Anderson Cooper. You'd think they're both on the same team, basically, these two, right? You would think anyway. But Lawrence takes issue with him making fun of her and probably, and then, you know, suggesting suggesting that she did it on purpose. Because there are people that do things like that. And it's not far beyond this girl to do that because she is Jennifer Lawrence and she is a famous actress and she needs to be the center of attention. And whatever that these guys can do to draw more attention to themselves, they do it. So since the mishap on CNN and all that, you know, Jennifer Lawrence said she later confronted Anderson Cooper at a Christmas party because women never forget. It could be 15 years down the road. You haven't seen someone, whatever. They're going to come out with that one thing, that dagger, pull it right out of their purse and stick it right in your heart. So not only does she see him at a Christmas party, she sees him and he's all fired up at a Christmas party, right? So you're Anderson Cooper. You're hanging out with your boyfriend. You're at a Christmas party. Got some eggnog, talking about how great life is. You know, here comes Jennifer Lawrence, sees you beaming at you. Here comes, locks on you like a missile, man. She comes out, zah! You bastard! And the group are like, wait. And then first thing he does is give her a wonderful apology, right? So Jennifer Lawrence said, my friend told me that a vein was bulging out of a neck. she's on the corner of a stroke because of stuff Anderson Cooper said, and she's all mad. Oh my God. And then she adds, I think we're good friends now. On my end, we're all good. So there you go. What a sentence. I think, let's psychologically break this sentence down. I think we're good friends now, which means they're not. On my end, which means they're definitely not. We are all good. So definitely they're not good. That's her, you know, her want and need for the dude on CNN to like her, right? Still, the actress joked that her final words on her deathbed will menacingly whisper Anderson Cooper. So there you go. And Jennifer Lawrence willing to take Anderson Cooper to her deathbed. And they're going to be like, who? Who? It'd be some, who? What's an Anderson Cooper? Right? But that's the way women are. And that's the way women think. And that's the way people are. Some people get slighted. They will hold on to that forever, man. That even after they're gone, that energy is still out there stalking someone out there doing something. And people like Anderson Cooper, they don't realize the damage that they can do. So especially when you're dealing with people who are way overly sensitive and they take everything the wrong way, or this girl, that's her moment to shine. She's the princess of the moment. She gets up and because of her dress, her own doing, she fell on her ass. But who would she blame? She first blames the waxy stare, the Cher stare of going up. They wax the stairs, right? Which I don't know if that's true. The jury's out on that one. That seems counterproductive for what they're planning at the night, especially with so many, you know, actors, actresses wearing high heels. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's true, but she just doesn't take any agency for herself and for the things that, you know, hey, I fell on my ass. It was funny. Ha ha ha. Look at me. You know, And even when she tried to quip about it, she immediately retracted that and then was crying in her own bosom saying, oh, my moment. Then, because of something stupid Anderson Cooper said, and I don't know, hey, if you are an investigative reporter, you want to kind of put things out there that is only the truth and not lead people in any direction. So you don't sit there and say, hey, you know, maybe she planned it. Ha ha, you know, put the conspiracy. He's not Anderson Cooper, the conspiracy guy. He's Anderson Cooper on the news. The news tells you what happened. The news doesn't make up what happened. It doesn't create what happened. It doesn't lean into opinion of areas of what happened. So I can see that part of it, especially when these people, they live in such a plastic, crappy world. Their whole world is about judgment of other people. What is this critic going to think? What is this critic going to say? All these things, right? And then in the same sense, there's you know, self-loathing. I mean, is it really worthwhile to be famous, I wonder? I mean, I think that, yeah, sure, they're popular in a way, but is that popularity in a good way? I mean, I don't know. I guess it's subjective, and the people who seek that out, they get what they get. You know, maybe many of them are jaded, especially in the long run. Like Bruce Willis, man. You know, a dude like that, who, by all reports, doesn't act accordingly in public. Even when met with his fans, he's kind of a douche. That's fine. You know, who cares? Who cares, man? You know? I've even given sympathy to a guy who was famous, but I felt bad for him. It was Stephen Baldwin. And I was at Syracuse Airport, you know, walking through the airport, and there is Stephen Baldwin. He's easy to see. He's got a unique look to him. A big smile walking through the airport. Nobody was like, he was like wanting to be noticed. I had a whole like sense that he wanted people to come up to him. It was pretty busy. There was busy people were looking around, whatever. So, and I was like, hey, aren't you Stephen Baldwin? And he's like, yes, I am. You know what? He was such a nice guy. And I know somebody who's mutual, Paulie Shore, who, you know, I talk to here and there. And, you know, this goes like way back to New York City, the club scene. And I was an entertainment writer on Long Island. So you meet people, you know. But, I mean, he was like a great guy. And it was fun having a conversation with him. You know, I gave him pity. He got noticed. I was like, hey, man, I like your work. I lied. I didn't know any of his work. I knew the one movie he was in with Paulie Shore. I think that was it. But you know what? He was a really nice guy. We had a great conversation. And, you know, and hey, man, that's the Hollywood I could deal with. But then he went like completely nuts, right? And into like heavy born again Christian type of stuff. Okay. I mean, whatever, man. Whatever. But all I'm saying is that these guys make their own bed, then they gotta lie in it, you know. And I think that some of them, especially, man, Trevor Noah, $27 million mansion. I mean, that's like amazing, because The Daily Show is just, you know, it's not what it used to be. I don't know, whatever, they just paid him to pay him. I think the guy is funny, but I don't think he's $27 million mansion funny, you know. But that's just my opinion. Obviously, it's not much of an opinion because he bought a $27 million mansion. I just can't believe it. But it's these people. And, you know what, God, it wasn't just that. It was a whole couple of weeks of seeing these Hollywood types just blurt out all kinds of money. Well, and then I look at America and people are suffering, man. People are suffering financially. People are out of work. People are just, you know, it's hard. The virus made it hard. The political scene made it hard. You know, just everything, man. And then you see these other people who have it all basically partying, and they're buying more and they have more and whatever. It just clearly defines the public that it's the wealth gap. And when people say it's race, people say this or whatever, they want to drag all kinds of religion. Let me tell you, man, It's about the haves and the have-nots. And then that top 1%, they have it all. And they control it all. You know, they own it all. They have it all. And then you're just the people. You're the pawns out there that they throw a bone to. You know, Biden's coming in. Biden said now, you know, instead of, so now it was $2,000 checks to people. Now they changed it. He put his proposal in and it's $1,400 checks instead. So already you're seeing what's happening from this guy's administration of he's going to make all these promises, right? And nothing's ever going to happen. He's going to ride the work that has been done under the Trump administration for taxes and things like that. He's going to give away a ton of money, but yet in 4 years' time, you know, maybe 3 years' time, financially, things will come completely crashing down because now you have a Democratic president with a Democratic Senate, with a Democratic House, you know, a clean sweep for at least the next 2 years. A lot's going to be done. And AOC, she's sitting there. She can't believe it that she doesn't mean anything to anybody anymore. She's feeling bad, you know what? Because she's making videos about that, about also about reigning in the media, having more control. Man, doesn't that sound like some Hitler stuff? You know, there's too much fascism going on, too much of it, man. People thinking they can take away. Even Trump losing his Twitter, I don't agree with that. While I don't agree with what he is and what he did, I don't agree with taking away his Twitter. And the reason why you don't want to take things, even the whole Parler thing, you don't drive the fanatics underground in secrecy where you can't watch them and see them. That's number one rule to fanatics. But number two, Trump still has his free speech. But then we get into the massive debate on is Twitter and Facebook and all these other media platforms that all supply an internet telephone and texting devices, are they private social media gathering spaces or are they modes of communication? Because if they're modes of communication, it puts them into a whole different world and different status, and they wouldn't be able to edit what you're saying and stop what you're saying, right? So imagine that's like Verizon or AT&T. They don't like the phone conversation you have. They're going to shut things down, you know, same. So anyway, I'm going to end the show on that note. You know what? Watch out for the machine, man, because they don't like people who are free thinkers. They punish you if you're a free thinker. They want you to go for the status norm and think about what society preaches to you, what they think that you should be, but think about what you want to be, because that's the most important thing. And then you grow from there. You plant that seed and you grow from there. You take the red pill. The red pill burns through all of those shenanigans and all that stuff, and you see it for the pathetic clown show that it really is. And I mean pathetic, not even like Ringling Brothers clown show. I'm talking about some shanty, town to town, county clown show. That's just horrible. Horrible clown show. Worst possible people, right? Keep that in mind. I'll see you guys next week on Red Pill News. Michael Angley here. Michael Angley live on United Public Radio Network, UPR and talkradio.com. 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Past Christian, and all over the world, baby. Broadcasting to everyone. Yeah. I'll see you next week on the show. Bye.